Hey everyone, I'm Chuck Peters, your host, and you're listening to the new Kids Ministry 101 podcast, a show designed to inform, instruct, and inspire kids ministry leaders and volunteers. This week's episode comes from our national ETCH Family Ministry Conference that's held each year right here in Nashville. We bring together amazing thought leaders and practitioners from all over the country for ETCH, and we thought, what a better way to equip our podcast audience than to sit down with some of these leaders and have conversations about the things that they're learning and teaching others in the world of kids ministry. The conversation that you're about to hear is just a fraction of the great instruction and inspiration that you'll find here at the ETCH Conference. If you haven't already registered, I want to strongly encourage you to consider joining us in October. You can find more about this year's event happening October 16th through 18th at etchconference.com, etchconference.com. Now, sit back and enjoy. Here comes today's episode. Today, we are excited to have with us Stephanie Chase, and we will be discussing moving people from seats into service. What does it take to move people? How do you get members in your church to move from sitting and soaking to experiencing life with Christ? In the next few minutes, we're going to talk about primary catalysts to get people moving and how to implement these key strategies in your life and in your ministry. And we do have Stephanie Chase with us. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Chuck.
And she will soon be celebrating her 25th anniversary to her husband, Rick. 25 years. Wow.
Yes.
They have three children, Nicole, Tori, and Michael. And Stephanie is a graduate of Texas Tech University and Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. She's passionate about leading the kids ministry team at Champion Forest Baptist Church in lovely Houston, Texas.
Yes.
And we are excited to have you with us here in Nashville.
Thank you.
We are right now recording this podcast at the ETCH Family Ministry Conference.
Yes.
And you are here speaking on this topic, among other things. And we're excited to get some time to sit down with you and record this session for our podcast listeners. So thank you for being here with us.
You are so welcome. Thank you for having me, Chuck.
So tell me, Stephanie, why do churches struggle with getting people to serve? That's like the age-old problem, right, in ministry.
Yes.
We know we need to have a team. And there's a bunch of people in our
yes.
church who could be part of that team, and yet they are in their seats, and then they leave. And somehow we need to make that transition from sitting to serving. So where do you start?
Well, that's a great question. You hit the hammer on the head whenever you said all the people in the church are sitting there soaking, because typically there's four kinds of people in your church. And if we can learn to recognize these four different types of people, that will help us begin to move them. So one of these types of people are the people who feel like, I'm not qualified to serve in kids ministry. I don't know the Bible well enough. Children are going to ask questions. I won't know the answer. So count me out. Or they may think, I don't have enough experience with children, so how would I get a group of four-year-olds to actually listen to me? Or how would I get a group of fifth graders to, you know, pay attention? And so they struggle with, I'm not qualified. That's one. A second one, which this is my husband, which is funny because I love kids, but my husband will tell you, I don't like kids. And so that, but that's normal. There are people out there that feel like, I don't like kids. I can't relate to kids.
And they assume, therefore, there's no place for them to serve in a children's ministry.
Exactly. But like my husband, he comes in every other Sunday and he helps in our kids worship service doing technology. So there is a place for everybody, even if you don't feel like that you like kids.
So it's not just teaching, right?
Exactly.
There are many roles. Yeah.
Yes. And so we're going to talk about that more as a catalyst to
Great.
Recognize the roles. The third kind of people are the people that are overcommitted and they feel like, I do not have time to volunteer to do this. But you have to keep in the back of your mind, people that are overcommitted will usually commit. So you've just got to help them find their boundaries in life.
Because they say in a typical church, what, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And so you do have a bunch of people who are already committed.
Yes.
So that could be a concern that you need to address.
Exactly. Definitely. And then the last person that's sitting in your seat soaking is the person who says, I don't even know what they're doing in kids ministry. I don't know what their needs are, so surely they wouldn't need a person like me. So
kind of unaware, uninformed.
Yes. So you've got to recognize these four kinds of people and then say, okay, I know who these people are. And then you've got to build a relationship with them and get them up and moving over into kids ministry.
Good. I love the categories. That's great, because you start to think of people in your church as falling into some of those categories.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay, so what are the catalysts? How do we get them moving?
Okay, Chuck, here's what I would love for you to think about. A catalyst is something that produces change. Imagine if you had like a glass of water sitting here and you took a little Alka-Seltzer and you dropped it in that bottle of water. What's going to happen to that water?
It's going to bubble and fizz, and there's going to be a reaction of some kind.
Exactly. Well, that's what we have to create in our churches. We have got to start dropping little drops of Alka-Seltzer
in the pews,
in the people's hearts, yes, so that we can get them to quit soaking and get moving. So what are three of those? I think in numbers, so I'm going to share in numbers here. But three of those little Alka-Seltzer drops are catalyst that you can begin to use in your church are number one, and we say this, but we don't take it seriously. The first one is prayer. We have got to get passionate about praying for God to turn the hearts of the people in our church to the next generation, because we've seen that at our church and we know that God can do that. God wants that. So we've got to pray for our senior pastors to turn their heart to the next generation, the staff turn their heart to the next generation, parents to realize, hey, this is about raising up the next generation of believers in Jesus Christ and followers of Jesus Christ. So begin to pray, pray, pray. That's the first one. The second thing that you want to do is this is really fun. You want to put on your potential glasses and you walk around and you see potential in every person to serve in kids ministry. Never look at somebody and say, oh, we couldn't use them, because every person has a place in kids ministry. For Vacation Bible School, we were creating the set for the worship platform. And we were like, we've got to get all this stuff painted. How in the world are we going to get this painted? Well, there was a group of five women in our church who loved to paint, who loved to do that kind of thing. But they didn't know that that's what we needed. And I would have never thought of them in kids ministry. But do you know what? We had the most amazing Vacation Bible School set because those five women who we recognized, hey, this is some potential. They can do this, and plug them in an area. So every person that you see in the world, you think kids ministry.
So when you're prayerfully looking through that lens, right, through those goggles, the prayer goggles, you begin to see potential everywhere you look.
Exactly.
Okay. And then?
And then, okay, the third thing is, this is the hard thing for everybody. The big ask. You have to ask them personally. Don't send them a text. You need to do those things. Don't get me wrong. They need to hear about kids ministry at least seven times before they'll say yes. They need to know something about it, get information. But then you have got to open your mouth and say, hey, I see potential in you. I have been praying for people, and I see potential in you to be used by God to reach the next generation of believers. And I want to know you more and get to know them, find out what they're passionate about, and then say, will you come and be a greeter? Will you come and serve snacks? Will you come and teach a life group or Sunday school class on Sunday mornings? So those are three of the big Alka-Seltzer drops that you can start dropping in your church. One other thing, Chuck, I want to say this, okay? It might step on a few toes, but another one is our attitude. When we are working in kids ministry, it can get so overwhelming when we are constantly needing more people to serve. Listen, our God is big, our God is faithful, and our God can provide for our needs. And when we believe that and we have faith in Him and we are getting out there and we're praying, we're looking, and we're asking, God will provide. This last Sunday, on Saturday night at about 8 o'clock, I started getting text. Oh, I can't be there tomorrow, Stephanie. I can't be there tomorrow. And I had a long weekend. I said, you know what, Lord? I'm leaving this in your hands until in the morning, because I got to get some sleep. And so I woke up the next morning and I just started scrolling through my contacts and praying, Lord, who's the one? Who should I? And I would just send a text for that morning and say, could you come and sub for us? And you know what? God is so faithful. If we ask, the people will respond. And we had more than enough volunteers and kids worship on Sunday. So, but it goes back to attitude.
Yes.
If you have to believe that people will say yes, believe that people want to be there, believe that people want to help raise up the next generation of followers.
Well, and enthusiasm is contagious.
You know,
when you are passionate about something, like you obviously are, and our leaders are, when you approach people from a passionate point of view about a specific opportunity that you have already matched to them, people respond. And that's so different from the passive approach. If we can talk about the passionate approach and the passive approach, right? You, that, that passive approach is where someone gets up front and says, we just need eight more people. Any eight, we're going to have to shut down Wednesday night if we can't get six more people to just show up. But how different is that than, like you said, you know someone that you have targeted, right, that you've identified who has gifted at painting like those ladies or at technology like your husband to approach with passion. So what advice would you give our listeners? They're out there. We all have need, right? There's going to be, we need new people to help serve. We need to train up the people we have. But what advice would you give for that person who is feeling deflated and discouraged and depressed and is at the end of their rope and saying, I'm just tired of asking and no one responds? Where do they start this week? What can they do today to start to turn the tide from passive to passionate?
Yes, great question. Number one thing, get on your face before the Lord and tell him, God, I am tired. I feel like I've been asking. And I love to think of my heart as like a big ball of Play-Doh, and there's all these little pipe cleaners in there that maybe they shouldn't be in there. And I will just say, Lord, take out those pipe cleaners that don't need to be in there, and just ask him, say, Father, take out those pipe cleaners that are feeling discouraged, that are feeling defeated, and I am putting my trust and my hope in you, and recognize who you are in Christ and say, I am your child. I am redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and I am saved by grace through faith, and I am led by the Holy Spirit, and begin to claim who you are in Christ as a leader and say, I'm trusting you, Lord. And so that's number one. Pour your heart out. Let him create in you a clean heart. Get those pipe cleaners out. And then number two, you have got to start looking. And here's the problem sometimes too, Chuck, real quick. I spend a lot of time in the kids building, and I know that our leaders here spend a lot of time in kids world. And so we don't see who's out there in the church, you know, our church people that are out there that aren't involved in kids ministry. So like two Sundays ago, I did not have a specific responsibility. So I walked up and down the halls, and every person I saw, talking to them and just watching and praying, okay, Lord, tell me. And I had three names by the end of that morning of people to contact the next week. So I want to encourage you, get on your face before the Lord, let him get those pipe cleaners out. Then get out of that kids building and walk around and start looking at the people in your church. Start knowing that God has people for your kids ministry, and then get on that phone and ask them to join your team.
And do that boldly.
Boldly.
Unapologetically.
Right? Yes.
And people will respond.
Yes, because we are the advocates for the children who need to know God's word and hear God's word. So we got to get out there and get them.
Awesome. Stephanie Chase from Champion Forest in Houston, thank you so very much for taking time to talk with us and to share these great tips on how we can be more effective at recruiting quality people to serve in kids' ministry. There's so much meat in what you've shared that I would encourage you, listener, go back and listen to this episode again and write down some notes if you haven't about what you can do this week. So, Stephanie, thank you for being with us. We trust that God will use this content and the information that we've shared to encourage you, inspire you, and equip you for more effective ministry to serve the families and churches that he has entrusted to you. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again soon. Thanks, everyone, for listening to today's episode. Again, I'd like to invite you to come and join us to be part of conversations like the one that you just heard at this year's Etch Conference. It's happening October 16th through 18th here in Nashville at the Music City Center, and we'd love for you to be here. All the details on the event are over at our website at etchconference.com. We already have some great keynote speakers that are lined up for this year, including Dr. Eric Mason, Angie Smith, and Pastor Robbie Gallaty. You can also sign up for our email updates so you'll be one of the first to know when we add more speakers and topics in the days ahead.